Now, this week was very interesting. Trying to come up with a bit of a message, not really knowing whether I was going to be here or not. Sarah has been very pregnant, and I've just been waiting for this baby to come, and it's just not coming. And so even yesterday, as I was finalising what I was going to say today, I sort of had in the back of my mind, but will I actually get a chance to do this? Will I get a chance to speak it? But obviously I have, so I'm here. And you may be wondering what this is. It's one of those what would Jesus do sort of bands, but it says push, but it actually means pray until something happens. And so that's what we're doing. We're praying until something happens. And then Sarah can start the pushing, I guess. Anyway, okay. Now, last week, who remembers what we preached on last week? I'll give you a hint. There's one of the words is up there. Come on. True identity. Okay, very good. Well done. Okay, and there was one word specifically. It starts with B. One word that starts with B was part of our identity. We are blessed. Well done. I'm glad someone got that. We are blessed. All right, so last week we were talking about maybe our possessions, okay? And we realized that we are blessed in Jesus Christ with every spiritual blessing, okay? That's what we spoke about. Do you remember now? Talking about being blessed beyond the curse. We are totally blessed because of what Jesus has done in us. Well, this week as we go into Ephesians chapter 2, we're not looking at our possessions so much as our position. So turn to the person next to you and say, position. Your position. Okay, because your position will determine your power. Your position will determine your authority. Your position will determine the way that you can live. Now, when I went to my very first high school, it was called Maps College, and it was in the Caribbean, and I absolutely loved this school. You see, the way that the schooling works over in the Caribbean, or in Barbados anyway, was that when you're 11 years old, you do your VCE exams. They're not called VCE, but they're the 11 plus. And there's all this pressure on these kids because if you get a good mark in your 11 plus, you go to a good high school. If you get a bad mark in your 11 plus, you go to a bad school. If you go to a good school, and then chances are you'll get to go to university and get a good job. But if you go to a bad school, the chances are, unless, you know, somehow miraculously you get better, you're going to go to a bad university or not even go to university and then wind up with a horrible job. All that pressure when you are 11 years old. Horrible. And so I didn't really do too good in my 11 plus, but that didn't matter because I was going to Maps College, which was a private school, but it was also called a bursary school. And what that meant, all the kids that totally flunked used to go to Maps College. Not only that, but if you were a kid and you got expelled, that's where you went. Like, this was the last place. It you know, we would take anyone, but literally anyone. And I loved this school. It was so good. It was really, really good. And it was an all-boys school. And you can imagine the sort of guys that we had there. And so in my class, everyone was into surfing. I loved it. You know, I had all these friends. But as you can imagine, you sort of begin to get up to a little bit of mischief when you have all these sort of boys together. One of the things we used to love doing was going down to the caves, because there was caves around our school. We'd pick up a rock and just peg it into the darkness. And then all of a sudden, hundreds of bats would go, poof, and they'd jump all over you, and, you know, you'd be throwing rocks at them. And, you know, we had a lot of fun. Other times, there was berry trees, and the whole school, like, no kidding, from the youngest to the oldest, were throwing berries at each other. It was just fun. It was a fairly violent place when you look back. But it was fun. But because it was like this, it meant that we needed some pretty strict discipline. And the teachers, like, you guys may complain about your teachers now. I guarantee you they were nowhere near as bad as these teachers that we had. I saw teachers hit kids with books, throw books across the room at kids' heads. I saw them hit people with rulers. And if you were really bad, they had this thing, sort of like this, and you'd... I'll have to show you. Sort of like this, and it had a piece of wood coming out here, and you had to bend over like this. And the school teacher, the school principal, she was a golfer. And legend has it that some monkeys were on the golf course one time and she killed them all. We're not sure if it was true, but that was the legend. And so you'd be there like this, and you pull down your pants, and then you get the, I think it was a cane, I think that's what she had. She'd go, whack, 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 three really good whacks. I never got it, and I'll explain why in a moment. But my friends, I remember them coming out, and it was sort of a badge of honour as well. It hurt. It was a badge of honour. But the welts were like this big, and they would be bleeding, and it would be raised. It was full on. Okay, but the other good thing about the discipline there, the other good thing was that in every class or every year level, they elected, this is the teachers and the principal, elected a class captain who had power and authority. Yeah. And I came, and for some weird reason, it has never happened since, but for some reason, I was doing really well in the school. Maybe I was just enjoying it. So I got to be class captain. I got in trouble, and I would go to the principal's office, worried that I was going to get whipped, literally whipped. But because I was the class captain, she treated me differently. It was great. No, it really was. And instead of her coming and saying, okay, well, I'm going to have to whip you for that, she would say, okay, well, you're the class captain. How do you think you could handle that better? Wow. And she started teaching me how to be a leader. It was incredible. And so I got away with all sorts of stuff that other kids were getting whipped for. It was fantastic. It was really, really good. But the best bit was that I could give lines to anyone else in my class. Do you know what lines are? Has anyone ever had to do lines? Yes, I think everyone's nodding. So a few people are not going up. Well, lines, if you've ever seen The Simpsons, at the beginning credits, Bart is up on the chalkboard writing, I will not, whatever, 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 whatever. And he had, you know, have to do hundreds. I could make my peers, the people in my class, do that. Come on. This is awesome. See, I was in a really, 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 really good position, wasn't I? That was a good position. In the book of Ephesians, it talks about two positions. The first one is a really bad one, and you don't want to be in that position. The second one is really, really good. So let's open up to Ephesians chapter 2. And if we're going to... Yep, okay. I'm just going to start. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And it says, this is the first one. It says, and you were... Everyone say, were. That's past tense. This is what you used to be. Before Jesus was your Lord and Savior, this is who you were. If Jesus is not your Lord and Savior, this is actually who you are. But there's good news at the end, because this gets pretty bad, all right? Listen up to this. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Who wants to guess who that is? Satan, the devil. Yeah, not a good guy. Among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and we're by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. That's full on. Who thinks that sounds like a bad position? I think that sounds pretty horrible. Well, this guy, Warren Wiersbe, he's come up with four words that begin with the letter D that describe what this is. And really, this position we're going to call a slave of hell. Slave of hell. Okay? The first D is you are dead. Dead. You are spiritually dead. This is what it's saying in the scripture here. You are dead. And this death means that you are separated from God. You are separated from the life that God wants to give you. Whatever you had, you know, whatever you are without Christ, that is nothing compared to what God wants to give you. You are dead. It means that you have no understanding or appreciation of the spiritual things. It means that you just don't get it. It means that you are cut off. It means that although you're walking around, you're almost like a zombie because you don't have the life that God wants to give you. It means that you can't please God. It means that you do not have a good spiritual life. You are dead. And the scripture here is saying you were dead. The second D word is that you are disobedient. disobedient. It says that you followed the ways of the world and that you followed the devil. That's pretty strong language, isn't it? You followed the ways of the world and the devil. Now, what are some of the ways of the world? You can think maybe it's hatred, getting angry with people, taking your anger out on people, the way you talk to people. You know, maybe the way that you justify the way that you live. Maybe that's of the world. Maybe it's sexual immorality, you know, sex outside of marriage. Maybe it's cheating on your partner, looking at gross videos or internet and all that sort of thing. This is all the way of the world. All this stuff up here where we have from the kingdom of darkness, that is all the way of the world, where church is just about religion and ticking the boxes and trying to be good. Manipulation, worry, judgment, revenge, all that stuff, it's just disobedience. All that stuff is disobedience. It's from the devil. The third D is depraved. It says in here, where is it? Among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of our body and mind. Now, you know, these days so many people live by their feelings. Do you know what I mean? When I was younger, Mum and Dad would tell me, James, do the dishes. And I'd say, I don't feel like it. And I would get smacked. No, they said, I don't care how you feel. You've got to do the dishes. That's your job. Feelings, that is not a good excuse. Okay? That's what they would say. And today in the world, so many people do things or don't do things because they just don't feel like it. You know, I was the same with my homework, all these things. No, if I don't feel like it, I'm not going to do it. There's a loss of, responsibility. There's a loss of having to do the things that you just have to do. And the word says that this is depraved. This is not the sort of thinking that God wants you to have. This is not the sort, God just doesn't want you to go to and fro just depending on your feelings and, you know, depending on what you feel like. It's depraved. Fourthly, it says doomed, D for doomed. It calls us children of wrath. That's horrible, isn't it? That's not a good position to be in. Turn to the person next to you and say, that is not a good position. That is definitely not a good position to be in. That position is called slavery to hell. You are a slave of hell. Pretty full on, isn't it? I don't think I've ever had to preach something so bang before. This is fun. Okay, slaves of hell. All right, let's go to position two, though. This is where it gets good news. Good news, here we go. Okay, but, that's a good way to start. All that stuff, that's what you were. But, God being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. For grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That sounds much better, doesn't it? That's heaps better. And so I've come up with four R's. Four R's that this talks about. And the second position is called a citizen of heaven. Turn to the person next to you, say, citizen of heaven. This is what Megan was talking about before, being a citizen of heaven. The first R is that resurrected, R for resurrected. Jesus has raised us from the dead, okay? This spiritual death. We are no longer spiritually dead, but we are spiritually alive. We can know God. We can sense God. We can hear him speak to us. We can have life in all its fullness that Jesus promises us. The second one is R for raised. God has raised us up into the heavenly realms. That's incredible. Somehow your spirit is in heaven right now. Doesn't make sense, does it? I know. It's an interesting thought. That we are raised into the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Now, in the Jewish thought, there was sort of earth, then there was the air, and the air is sort of where it just spoke about. That's where the prince of the air, where the devil is. And then above that was heaven, Okay, that's just sort of a bit of their thinking. And so what this is saying about being raised into heaven is that you are actually now above, your position is above all that bad stuff that we were just talking about. All that depravity, all that disobedience, all the sin, all the darkness that is in the world, all that horrible stuff, you are above it all. You are above it. You have authority over it. It's really good news. The third R is that you are richly blessed. Richly blessed. Last week we spoke the whole time about it, that you are blessed in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. The third one is that you are remade. You are remade. In John, it's spoken about as being born again. But the way that it's written here in chapter 2, how we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus, it's the language that they would use if something was made in a workshop. And once it's created, it's actually just about, it's ready to be sold and used, isn't it? See, often in Christianity, we think that once we are saved, once we are converted, once we give our life to Jesus, that's it. We're saved, full stop. But actually what this is saying is, well, actually, that's just the beginning. You're actually created for good works. That's what, you know, that's what Open Doors are doing. That's what Nolene has been doing. Good works. You were created for good works. This position is called a citizen of heaven. A citizen of heaven. Throughout this scripture we read, say in Luke 10, Jesus says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. You know, in Matthew 10, Jesus gives us authority to heal every sickness and disease. It's incredible. As you read the scripture, you find that our identity in Christ, our true identity, is amazingly powerful. Very, 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 very powerful. But you can have the power and you can have the authority. You can be a citizen of the kingdom of God, but not end up using it. Let's go back to Maps College. I was in high school, and we always used to play fight. But there was this one guy, and he was a lot bigger than me. And we were friends, but every now and then, he would just push my buttons too much, and we'd end up having a blue, okay? And that was one of the things that I had to go to the principal's office for once. But I got out of it. Okay. All right, but I had this blue with him, and it kept happening until one day I realized I'm the class captain. How dare he try that on me? And so I saw him coming up to me, and he was about to get stuck into me, and I said, do you know what? I said, I'm the class captain. You come any closer to me, and I'm going to give you lines. Yeah, take that. And he backed down straight away. And it was so effective that I used to give him lines just for the fun of it. Okay, I might be exaggerating. I might have done that once. Okay? But, what would have happened if I'd forgotten all about the power and the authority I had because of my position? If I'd forgotten my position as the class captain, very easily, unless I had used my authority and my power, we probably would have had a fight and I would have had to go to the principal's office again. Okay? It would have ended up bad. And so this morning, I want to ask you, who are the bullies in your life? Who are the bullies in your life? Because you are a class captain. I see some finger pointing here. Actually, I see quite a lot of finger pointing here. But let me talk to you about what some of these bullies may be in your life. The first one, what about hurt? You know when you get hurt and you just can't let it go? And it turns into bitterness, and it just makes your life horrible, and you're not free. Hurt may be your bully. Maybe it's your past. Something happened in the past. You can't move on. Maybe you're having nightmares. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe there's sin in your life, and you just can't seem to get over it. Sin. Maybe it's the pull of the world. You know, but everyone does it. You know, maybe it's peer pressure. Maybe it's the flesh, these desires within your heart that make you want to do the bad things. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's addiction. Another big one, fear. Maybe fear is dominating you. All these things are bullies, and they're bullies from hell. If this stuff is in your life, you are being bullied by the devil. You were being bullied by the world. You were being bullied by someone that you have authority over. You see, it's like you are the class captain and you are saved. Hallelujah. You have this power and authority. But unless you step up, you're going to keep getting bullied by all this stuff in your life. It's just going to keep on going on. And it's not a nice way to live, is it? And really, last week we were talking about our discipleship process. We get rescued from the kingdom of darkness. We get discipled to live in the power of the Holy Spirit and sent to win the world for Jesus. This is the second bit that we're talking about today, discipled. This is what a disciple is. A disciple is someone who knows what God has done for them and then lives it out. And that's a lot harder than it sounds. But it's also a lot easier. It's a lot easier. Because what it requires is for you to step up and say, do you know what? I don't want that bully in my life anymore. I don't want that hurt. I don't want that pain. I don't want that sin, that anger, whatever it is. I don't want that anymore. And the good news is you have power and authority over it because of where Christ has placed you, because of your position in Christ. Isn't that good news? That's great news. Rhonda, can we please start playing I Went to the Enemy's Camp? I'm going to pray, and then we're going to do something fun, okay? So how about you close your eyes, and let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have placed us in the heavenly places with you. We thank you, Lord, that we are no longer dead. We thank you that we are no longer disobedient, depraved, and doomed. Lord, that sounds horrible. That is a horrible place to be. Lord, we thank you that you have resurrected us. We thank you that we are richly blessed. We thank you that you have raised us to the heavenly places. We thank you that you have remade us. Lord God, we thank you for the power and the authority that you have given us, that we are no longer slaves of hell, that we can be a citizen of heaven. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us right now, and that right now, even as this song is playing, that you would just show us who are the bullies in our life that we need to stand up to. Who are the bullies? Lord, I pray that you would give us names of these things, not people. Give us the names of these things that are bullies in our life. Have a think. Let God speak to you. Who are the bullies in your life? Fear, anger, unforgiveness, hurt, pain. Think about them, because we're about to stand up to them. We're about to stand up to them. So how about everyone stand up? Everyone stand up. This is where it's going to be fun. What we're going to do, if you are sick and tired of being bullied around by all this stuff that is beneath you, and if you want to stand up, if you want to live as though you really are the class captain, if you want to live as though you really are a citizen of heaven, if you want to live as though Jesus' words are true that said, I have come to give you life and life in all its fullness. If that's you, I'm going to ask you in just a moment to come down the front here. We're going to sing this song. And when we say, and I took back what the devil stole from me, we're going to take it back. You know what it is. You know what the bully is in your life. We're going to stand up to it, okay? Do you think you can do that? Okay, so everyone come down the front if you want to stand up to the bully. Come on, surely there's more people. All sorts of bullies in your life. Come stand down here. Well done, kids. Good. Come stand down. Come on. Is that all? You don't have to stand up here. You can just stand down there, but you can follow me if you like. Fantastic. All right, I'm going to hand this over to Sarah. But we took back, all right? So we're doing this in prayer. We're taking back what the devil stole from us. You don't actually have to be on the platform. You can just be down there if you like. But you just keep following me. That's good. All right, let's go.